Welcome once again to TAG Talks Food Safety, our bi-monthly talk for the food industry. Today we are discussing what we at the Atchison Group are seeing as some of the key food industry trends in Canada. I'm your host, Lisa Lupo, and today I'm welcoming TAG Director of Food Safety, Sam Davidson, with whom I attended the recent Canadian Summit on Food Safety. We spoke with attendees from a lot of different industry segments. We discussed their businesses and practices and needs and found these to be both global and unique to Canada. Welcome, Sam.
Thank you. Well, hi, how are you?
Great, I'm doing great. So let's first talk about some of the current trends and what we saw in evolving areas such as plant-based foods and sustainability-focused businesses. Can you provide further insights on these?
Yeah, for sure. You know, especially talking about the sustainability part and alternative proteins, you know, I think it's been identified that we really know there's not enough food on the planet right now, and we have to come up with alternative ideas. So we were seeing people coming to us and more novel approaches onto how they grow or how they produce. And, you know, especially we looked at container farming. Those areas where it's not as easy to grow produce, for example, then container farmings are coming into place where it gives the opportunity not just for companies, but for local communities to start working and start giving them an opportunity to grow and produce and become self-sufficient. And it's sustainable. So when you're given that opportunity to those communities, it benefits both communities and industries where you're able to, say, grow in areas that haven't been able to grow before. And it goes from there. So
are there other that, kind we, of the...
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say some of the other, like, plant-based foods and other sustainability ones too you saw?
We're seeing some of these things. Everybody's looking at novel techniques and upcycling or recycling foods and being able to take waste and change it into an ingredient or reformulate it or whatever techniques they use to try and create ingredients, basically. That's what we're seeing. But then we're seeing the plant-based foods as well, where there is that those protein-rich or protein-heavy products that are not animal-based. So those alternative proteins that people are pushing, and there's more and more coming out of it. It's definitely... there's a lot going on in the industry about it, as far as in some cases the growth hasn't really been the same as expected, but you're still seeing a lot of startups and a lot of companies aiming towards this.
Okay. So coming from the US myself, one of the things that I most noticed in Toronto was the cultural diversity, which really seemed to be much more integrated into the population than in many areas of the US. So can you discuss this a little bit and what the impact of that is on food establishments, particularly in their food safety?
Sure. You know, in industry, in general, you know, in the food industry, when it talks about languages, for example, generally have to have things up in English and French in Canada, because they're the two national languages, the co-language. But when you look at your employees and the breadth of international and variety of cultures that are there, in some cases, it's expected to have communications up in the languages of those people, especially if there's a majority. If the majority were Spanish speaking, then you would have it up in Spanish as well. I know of a company, and I visited a company that had... they were able to identify around about 25 different languages spoken in their facility. Wow. And they posted 25 versions of their communications. So that's a lot to do. And that's obviously a big effort on that company's part. But that's not generally the case. Generally, there's a way, or there's a certain expectation that you should be able to understand a certain amount of English or French. Now, that can be difficult for new Canadians or new immigrants coming from non-English speaking countries. But there's ways around it, and there are ways to help these employees. But it also, you know, coming from such a culturally diverse environment, levels of food safety are not necessarily the same as they are in North America.
Okay.
So there can be that trying to get that understanding of food safety or what is expected for Canadian food safety can be a bit of a barrier. You know, we do find sometimes that training and that understanding of the differences compared from the original country of the employee to Canada can be an issue. And then even understanding some of the sort of religious aspects that we do when we're making products like halal products, for example, ensuring that people understand that it's not necessarily just a piece of meat. It's halal certified meat, so we have to ensure that that does not go to a non-halal consumer or non-halal labeled product, that sort of thing. So we got to make sure that those considerations are taken into place, especially because the consumers are as diverse as the employees in Canada. So we have a lot of everything. So yeah, that can be it can be hard, and it can also be hard for retention of employees as well, and training employees. How do we get it all across? It can be difficult, and I've seen or I've been asked a number of times, how do we deal with it? There's no black and white answer to this one. It depends on who you're working with and what you're doing. So yeah.
Okay. A lot to be aware of if you're going to start a business in the food industry.
Sure.
So there's another area that's pretty critical in Canada, importing foods and ingredients and exporting these to other countries is critical to many of the Canadian food companies. But both of these can also be quite complex in licensing requirements and differences between country regulations. So let's start with imports. What are some of the requirements that businesses may be unaware of or that most often find to be complex?
Yeah, that's a good point, and definitely with the multi-diversity of consumers in Canada and the need for or the want for people to have authentic product that cannot necessarily be made in Canada and probably could never be made in Canada, then what do we do? So we have to ensure that we have got good supply chain, ensuring that there's authenticity. Trying to get, well, if you imagine going to a store and getting a pack of $1 noodles and calling it ramen, it's not necessarily ramen, really, right? So getting that authenticity, you want to ensure that, it maybe country of origin is a big thing, right? To ensure that you're getting authentic, well, we've used ramen as that example, making sure that it is authentic and it is what meets the expectations of, I guess, the population that are from that region. Maybe they want to have, instead of making it at home on their own, they want to be able to get something quicker or easier, to have that authenticity to make sure it really is the right what they desire. Another thing that we have to worry about is intentional adulteration in some cases, where more for financial gain rather than any sort of vulnerability or food defense practices, but it's more around, an expensive product and adding to that product to for volume to increase sales, to increase profitability. We've seen it before in some of the more expensive spices. And we've seen food safety concerns when it comes to, say, crushed nutshells going into product because it's easier to bolsters the product. And then obviously back in, a number of years ago with the melamine and milk as well, we saw that happening. So we want to ensure that we are getting the cleanest, most authentic product that's available.
Are there also kind of regulations, particular to Canada around imports?
A lot of what will follow very similarly with the US and FSMA and supply chain. But in Canada, we call it the IRA. So that's International Risk Assessment. And that will be performed when you're looking at, sorry, import risk assessment. That'll be looking at import, who's importing and performing that risk assessment to ensure that the product is safe or as it should be, as intended. Yeah.
Okay. So then when you're exporting foods, now it's really important to know and understand the regulations of the country into which you're exporting. So these do vary around the world, but right now we'll just focus in on the US. So, what are some of the key regulations of the US that either don't have Canadian counterparts or are just stricter in the US and so pertain as well to imports into the US?
Absolutely. This is an important one, especially for Canadians. And you know, I believe the Canada US border is the world's largest trading border, I think, something like that. So there's a lot of product goes back and forth. So where FSMA have introduced certain rules like traceability, foreign supplier verification program, intentional adulteration of vulnerability assessment. So we would call that food defense. Where you see in sort of the FSMA, you know, for the human consumption, you know, they're very specific on allergens and that sort of thing. Although Canada doesn't have the specific rules like the US or like FSMA says has, in a lot of the cases and in some of the programs you have, especially in the older food safety programs, when I say older, like the last iteration of food safety in Canada was the Food Safety Enhancement Program. And a lot of people still use that as a preventive control plan in Canada. The prerequisite programs were already established for allergens, for a certain amount for food defense, and definitely around traceability and that sort of thing. So that had to be done within CFIA regulations. Now we're under SFCR, but people can still use those old programs under SFCR, the Safe Food for Canadian regs. So that if you've been in that situation before, or if you have worked under that using those older programs, benefits, but there is that need to comply with FDA requirements. So in some cases, they are more stringent, and for us in Canada to export down to there, we have to understand and know the rules just as well as anyone else in the US and with FDA. We have to really consider ourselves as FDA locations.
Okay.
So, but yeah, so there's a lot of training in Canada as well to ensure we can get into the US.
Right. So another thing that was very noticeable at the summit were the number of innovative and startup businesses. So there've always been companies that began in someone's home kitchen or a converted garage, but there really seem to be even more of these lately. So what's your take on this, and how is today's food world helping to enable these?
Yeah, so this is I guess this is the future of where the food industry is going. You know, there's a lot of you've seen the I guess the pandemic helped a lot or pushed some of this certain cases where people were no longer working in a factory and decided they were going to start up their own business, or we've seen the success of the food delivery apps because of COVID, and people weren't able to go out, or you know, didn't have that same access, and restaurants were closed or weren't open to the public. So the likes of the like DoorDash, you know, became very popular. And so there's definitely now we see people starting up their home-based businesses, and their intent is just to work out of their home and deliver or sell from the house. Facebook Marketplace, I see it. That sort of becomes a little bit difficult when it comes to regulatory, right? How do we deal with that? How do we ensure there's any issues? Well, I'm seeing there was one company that approached us last week, and they're starting up a business, or they have started up a business that's like Uber Kitchen, I guess. That's probably the best way to describe it, where the person has set up a network where people cook from home and then deliver from home through this app that they've created. So it's sort of like this Uber type thing, and you know, it's a lot of it, I guess, is driven through social media. As I said, Facebook Marketplace has, you know, like people will go and buy from other people or friends, you know, using this. So this is going up one level further then, where you're using people's homes as part of the business partnership. We see shared kitchens, we see pop-up kitchens, we see a lot of these, you know, ghost kitchens that they call. You know, people are doing this, and that they're you know, converting structures with maybe within their own property or in their own houses, you know, specifically for this. And especially if it gets popular, then they're you know, they'll maybe share a space or partner with someone else so they can be successful. An example of this actually was a very successful partnership just where I live, where Pizza guy was making pizza at home and moved in with the local brewery, and it was half and half basically. And so people would come and buy pizza and then stay for a beer. People would go for a beer and buy
Nice.
pizza. So it worked out very well. So those sort of partnerships, and I think that's what we're going to see more is partnerships trying to develop with each other
Okay.
to give I guess two benefits in one location. Yeah, and then the growth of delivery businesses as well. Yeah, so
There's a lot going on in the industry.
there is the
And
diversity is getting crazy. You know, people still want to make food, people still want to sell stuff, so it's they're coming up with more novel ideas.
yeah. And then you've got if the regulatory agencies have to figure out how to take care of those too.
How do you manage that?
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to if people start making product out of province or for out of province, then there's
Okay.
SFCR licensing. You do not need to have a preventive controls plan or a food safety plan unless you are selling out of province or shipping out of province. So when it comes to a case where company becomes successful and they start to sell outside of province, and they need to have these licenses.
Oh, wow. Okay, another rule. People
Another
just
one,
need to
right?
know as they get
Yeah.
busy starting up or looking at the industry. Yeah. So, Sam, as we wrap up this episode of Tag Talks Food Safety, are there any other areas of concern that were evident in your discussions at the conference or generally with Tag consulting clients? And how is Tag Canada helping companies with solutions?
Well, I guess there's always going to be risk, right? And it's whether it's a shared kitchen or someone's doing something or a pop-up or something like that. How do we manage that? How do we ensure safety for consumers? But there's always the big one, I guess, that we talk about in North America, and it's allergens. Again, there was another set of meetings and talks during that conference around allergens. What do we do about it? How do we control it? How do we ensure or lessen the risk around allergens? A lot of the time in North America is around about labeling issues, right? So it's being on top of your programs in-house and using systems to try and manage that. That's definitely one thing. And employee retention is another. Since the pandemic, it has been difficult for employees to retain or companies to retain employees. People see that there's other options or have seen, excuse me, that there's other options. So then what do they do? And I've been asked, this is a question I've been asked a few times as well, and I have no answer for it. Employee retention, what do you do? And it's not necessarily throwing money at it, right? So it's an issue, but the on top of that, as well as the training that's needed for an employee to come work in a food facility. So if companies are having to reach out to agencies, and then agency people are coming to a facility and they get trained that day and they didn't like the job, so they don't come back the next day, there's a high turnover of employees, and there's that trying to maintain that level of food safety becomes very difficult when you don't have that retention, when people don't really understand or really don't care because they're just trying to come in for a job for a day. That's a big concern. And I guess what we do and how we help around that. That retention part's not so easy, right? It's that's a, if we were to be able to answer that, then we could retire. But there's definitely that focus on trying to maintain food safety, and we can look at companies and we can sort of come up with ideas, and technology can be used for I have seen systems, learning systems, where they're like on the floor and present, so they're immediate. If anybody sees an issue or someone needs help, then you can literally show them a quick training video on how something works, 2 or 3 minutes on the floor, boom, just like that helps. And you get that sign off with it, but Tag can definitely do a lot of things there, and we can get involved in and help with training, help with We'll do an assessment on why a company is having allergen issues, for example, or why they're having labeling issues, and what are the programs in place, and how do we help with that? Maybe we can help with licensing when it comes to expanded sales, and yeah. So we at TAG, I guess we're the one-stop shop, right? That we have the expertise throughout our company that we can help individuals even when they have really specific issues and need help. And going, in future technology and future issues, we have to stay on top of that. And I guess that's one of the great things about going to conferences as well. We pick up on these and we learn about what's coming through the pipeline. And yeah, so we're there and ever present.
Great. Yep. So my visit to Canada and our participation in the summit was quite interesting, eye-opening, and enjoyable. And we're really looking forward to helping many of those that we did meet at the with their food safety best practices and solutions. So I want to thank you, Sam, for your insights today.
Thank you, Lisa.
And thank all our viewers and listeners. Be sure to follow us on YouTube, Spotify, or your favorite podcast platform to stay updated on food safety, industry trends, and best practices in Canada, the US, and our global markets. Thank you again.
Thank you.